mind and body as entities. That was the Buddha's insight, and it's obviously true. Another way of saying this, as I pointed out at the beginning, is that the complex can appear as a bodily symptom. And that's a mirror of the psychological situation. So the unconscious is not exclusively psychological or physical. It's both and it's neither. We really don't know what the unconscious is. There is no relationship, quotes, between mind and body, because the relationship would imply that these were two different things. You don't need a relationship if they're the same thing. They're not separable. So it's a mistake to talk about the relationship between mind and body. We only separate them as a convenient way of talking. Every illness is a state of the unified mind-body. Subjectivity and physicality co-emerge in consciousness, and they're never independent of each other. So in any illness, we have a network of physical symptoms, of feelings, of behavior, and so on. And the way I think of them is as what's called a tangled hierarchy. Sometimes it's called a strange loop. If you think of the Escher drawing of hands, in which each hand is drawing the other hand, a strange loop is a loop in which whatever direction you move in, you find yourself back where you started. And no position on the loop has hierarchy over the other. So none of these factors has a causal priority. There's no point in looking for a root cause. It's a mistake to think of illness in terms of a hierarchy in which mind or body is given priority. There are people who say that the primary psychological problem expressed in the body, or the primary problem is physical but also has psychological components. These, I think, are mistaken ways of talking. It's a mistake to say that the psychological symptom comes first or the body symptoms come first. They are both expressing the same archetypal situation synchronistically, simultaneously, as C.A. Meyer described in about 1950. So we can stop thinking of illness in a causal way. And this approach is very useful when thinking about medically unexplained illnesses. And there are now illnesses which are medically unexplainable. The classic example is chronic fatigue syndrome. And this is one of the limit cases for the traditional medical approach, which tries to split mind and body. This is where it stops working very well. And this causes a great deal of controversy. There are people who say it's a psychological problem expressed physically. There are other people say there's an as yet unknown biological cause and so on. I want to get rid of all these kind of formulations. But these medically unexplained symptoms are actually quite common. And unfortunately, there are still lots of doctors who behave as if only what is physical is real. This attitude is creeping into our current love affair with neurobiology, as if when you locate empathy in the brain, that suddenly makes it more real than if it was only psychological. After all, we've only known about it since Winnicott and Carl Rogers, but it took the neurobiologists to convince us that it was real.